Good morning, everyone. It's great to be together this morning, and the singing was beautiful. And every week when we come together and we partake of our worship together, we are drawing closer to one another and closer to God at the same time. There's nothing else that we can be doing in life that will accomplish those two things as we are able to be here this morning. We're committed to one another, we're committed to God, we're committed to building up His church here in this place. And that is God's wisdom and God's plan for us as His people to be establishing and helping to grow His church, His new body that Jesus is the head of. As we are looking in the book of Ephesians, again this morning, we want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning with verse 17. Paul is writing here about the riches that we have in Christ, the grace that has been bestowed to us, and he is emphasizing how wealthy, really, each of us are spiritually in Christ. But he is also wanting us to understand that we are to walk worthy of God's call. God has called us through his gospel and through Jesus Christ to a way of life and a new life in Christ. And we are to walk worthy of this call. Part of that call that we have seen in the last couple of weeks is how we are to walk together in unity and oneness together. God has brought us together from different walks of life. And we certainly have many differences of personality and background and culture. And yet God has brought us together through Christ. And God wants us to have unity together and preserve this unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so we have been looking at that together. But God also is wanting us as His people to be holy and righteous people. God has raised us from the dead. We were dead spiritually and through Jesus Christ, just as Christ was raised from the dead and exalted up to be at the right hand of God. God has raised us up from being spiritually dead and seated us with Christ. And that new fellowship that we have with God is to bring forth a holiness of us as God's people. So there is to be an aspect of our lives that is purity of life that we each strive for in following. Now, one of the things that Paul does is to remind us of that and the contrast to our old life to how we now are living. And by looking at that and pointing out, here's what we were, here's the way of life that we were living without Christ. Now, here's the way of life that we are able to be living now with Christ. There's a great contrast that we are able to see between the two. And that's what he wants to is speaking about here in our lesson together this morning. So beginning in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, he said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We realize that there is an appropriate way to dress on certain different occasions and different roles that we are going to be fulfilling. There is an appropriate way to dress according to that way of life or that occasion. And certainly if we were out working in the yard and we were hot and sweaty and so forth, and we came in to clean up, then we would put on new clothing and we would reflect that. And when we go to work, we dress a certain way. And if a man was getting out of prison and he was going to now be a free man, he would put off that prison garb that he had been wearing while in prison, and he would now be able to put on ordinary clothes and fresh clothes, that he is now a free man. So his clothing reflects that. We as Christians, we are to dress in a spiritual way, in a reflection of who we now are. That the former way of life that we lived before, we don't longer wear that clothing that suits that life. We wear a new wardrobe that God has put out for us to wear as we are here now His people and His children. So Paul wanted to emphasize, make that, help them to understand that, writing to the Ephesian brethren, the saints there. And so as he was describing that there are new standards and there's a new way of life that God has for His people to be living, that we should be dressing in our lives in that way, putting on that way of life that reflects the way that we now are. And so Paul here begins in verse 17 to talk about the change in our life, that we need to understand this change that has happened in our life, that is continuing to happen in our life. We are a changed people. Christ has changed our life. And it's good for us to be aware of that and to understand why that is, to understand the basis why our lives have changed in the way that they are. So he says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds." When Paul refers now to the Gentiles, he is referring to those who are outside of Christ, who do not have the standard of living for Jesus Christ that we have. We could apply that today to non-Christian people, or people who are unchurched, or people who do not have any sense of God's Word guiding and directing them in their life. We would look at a person's life like that and contrast that with the life of a person who is living according to God's standards and God's way of life. Now, we all understand that there may be some variations in that, and there may be some changes in that. That we could probably find some people, maybe some fine people that we work with, that they aren't believers, they aren't practicing Christians, and yet good people in many ways. We might find a person who professes to be a Christian who maybe doesn't live that and has made a shameful thing of the way that they have conducted themselves. But Paul is speaking in a general way, that here is one way that pagans live, and here's another way that Christians live. So his point is, you were once pagans, you lived like pagans, now you're Christians, we need to live like Christians. So there's a huge contrast there. So he says that he is testifying this in the Lord with the Lord's authority, that we no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. The thing that we notice here now as Paul is writing about the life of the Gentiles or the life of the non-Christian is how much of this is dictated by the mind of the mindset of that person. And he says in the futility of their minds. Now, this word really means to be empty or vanity or without purpose or aimless. That he is describing a person who in their life, they are just sort of running on the events that happen in life, the things that go on over and over again in life. You know, we get up and we go to work and there are things that we do in life, but that a person doesn't really have any ultimate purpose of life. They don't have any ultimate purpose that their life has meaning behind. Aimlessness or purposelessness, that is the thing that characterizes the life of a person outside of Christ. And as we think of people today who aren't living according to a biblical principles of life, that certainly is true. We can see that people are living in, as he says, the futility of their minds. Their mind is empty as far as spiritual purpose. They don't have any spiritual purpose in their life. They just are sort of running on automatic and their life keeps on going. But what is the purpose of their life? They don't really have one to understand that God has created us and we have a purpose, a wonderful purpose, to glorify God in life. And that we can have a hope. We can be planning on God is a purpose to save us and we can have eternal life. But when a person is living as the Gentiles and as the pagans lived in the first century, and as many people are living their lives today, they don't have that purpose. They don't have that understanding. And so that emptiness that they have in their mind is going to be dictating a lot of other things that are going on in their life and explains why their life is the way it is. So he begins now to describe the old life. And he gives a very good detailed understanding of what a life of a non-Christian really is like. So he said, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. So again, it is centers in their mind. The content of their mind is missing that type of information that can help them to have the new life, the great life that a Christian is able to have. But he says that they have a darkened mind, being darkened in their understanding. So a person who is without God and without Christ, there is an ignorance in them about those things. We understand why that is important in a person's life, obviously because what you think determines how you conduct yourself. The way that you think is what determines what kind of person you are. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs writer says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And here is a person now who their mind is darkened because excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. So they really don't know God. And that ignorance of God that they have, that is what is going to be guiding the way that they live their life. Or the absence of those things that are needed. We can see how to many people this is not a flattering portrait at all of modern people today. We like to think of ourselves that we are living in the enlightened age, just like the Gentiles and the pagans of the first century. are not unlike that, because they took pride that they were intellectuals. The Greek people, they were prided themselves on great wisdom that they supposedly had, with men like Aristotle and Plato and those great philosophers that they had produced. And yet Paul is describing the life, and he's saying because of the darkness that is in them, darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. So that shapes the path and the direction of their life. They don't have a purpose of honoring God and living for Him that we are able to have. So, and then he says, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Now here's another aspect of a person who is not living a Christian life, is the hardness of their heart. This word meant stone. It meant to be petrified or to be calcified. What happens when you break your leg or whenever you break a bone? And they said it forms over extra calcium and it becomes hardened. It develops a thick shell, in other words. God has made our bodies to do this. But in terms of your mind and your heart, a person who is living a life without God, their heart becomes hardened. And they begin to shut out God's light. We know that God's light is all around us. That as we go out and look at to the creation that is around us, we see God's light is reflected. When we see a little baby is born into the world, the innocence of that child, we see the light of God. But a person can shut those things out as they gradually live a way of life without God, and their heart becomes hardened. Therefore, they are closed off to spiritual things. Sometimes if you talk to a person today that is not a Christian, and you will try to bring up maybe a spiritual topic, what you sometimes will get is that they just sort of look at you like, what are you talking about? You know, they have no understanding of those things. They can't appreciate it. They don't think in terms of those kind of spiritual things. And really, for you to keep talking about that, they get kind of aggravated and say, I don't like this. This makes me uncomfortable. So there's a hardness of heart that a person has, and that is because of that is why they have the darkness. He actually says, due to the hardness of their heart. And therefore, the reason that their mind is darkened is because their heart is hardened. One time Jesus was speaking with... he healed a man on the Sabbath day. And there were some of the religious leaders that were in the audience that day. And they viewed that Jesus had broken the Sabbath. And they were getting ready to come down on Jesus, that he healed this man on the Sabbath day. And it says Jesus looked around on them with anger because of the hardness of their heart. It was like, come on guys, I am healing a man who is unable to walk. He is paralyzed. And all you can think of is that something wrong is being done on the Sabbath day. Well, Jesus recognized that some people have a hardness of their heart. And it's very difficult to get through to a person whose heart is hard. They shut those things out. And this can be interpreted to mean blindness. This hardness of heart. That a person's eyes become blinded to reality of God in their life. So because of the hardness of the heart, or the blindness of their heart, that is the type of life that people can be living. And it's sad to see that happening to someone that you care about, that someone that we know God loves them, yet their heart is hardened. How do you get through to that type of life? Thirdly, he says that their life then is going to be filled with sin. And they, having become callous, we know what callous is, that there's no feeling, there's no sensitivity left in. So having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Notice two words there that stand out as Paul is speaking there. First of all, sensuality. They've given themselves over to sensuality. And a person whose life is not guided by God, oftentimes that is what we see, that their life is very much into sensuality things, materialism or sexual impurities of their life. And the other thing that he says then is greediness. They have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. So here is the kind of life then that describes the old life. What Paul is saying, that now you're Christians, we don't any longer walk the way the Gentiles walk. And this is how the Gentiles walk. This is how the pagans walk. That's how they live their life. But don't live your life that way now that we are in Christ. So he is saying that the condition of their life is they have a darkened mind. The cause of that is that they have a hardened heart. And the consequence of that is their life is filled with sin. And they are not even aware of it. They are insensitive to it. So don't any longer walk as the Gentile walk. He begins now to talk about the new life that we are able to live. And what a wonderful contrast we now see here as he begins to show us that Christ's life is filled with light. It is brilliant. It is clean. It is beautiful to look at the life of a Christian who is, Christ is directing that person's life. So he says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The thing that changes here to make this new life possible, again, is there is learning that takes place. All of the difference between the two lives really gets back to what's in that person's mind. What kind of mindset do they have? And he is saying, we have not so learned Christ. From Christ, we haven't learned any of the way of life. It's totally different. Notice he says, though, he doesn't say you have learned about Christ. He says, you've learned Christ. We've learned not just things about Jesus Christ. Not just that Christ lived and died and rose from the dead. Some of the basic facts. But we have learned Christ. We're growing to learn who Jesus is. And what is his purpose for our life? What is his kingdom? What is the purpose of Jesus for his kingdom and for his church? And the life that we are to live for him. You see, when we are learning Christ, we're learning all of these things. It's not just that we know Jesus lived and he was the Son of God and he died on the cross and he rose from the dead and went to heaven. Those are all good things that we should know. But does that mean we have learned Christ? Who is Christ? What is his purpose for your life? What is his church? What is the purpose of his church? What kind of moral life does Christ teach us to live? So you have not so learned Christ if indeed you have heard him. Whenever we became a Christian, it was like we went to school with Christ. It's like we are enrolled in the school of Christ. We're getting a spiritual education. That's what changes our life. It's not just we had an emotional experience one day, but we have been educated by Christ. We've learned Christ, we've heard him, and we have been taught by him. So there's a depth to what a person's mind now has filling his mind that causes us to live the way of life that Jesus provides for us to live. That he gives us a new life. A life that is not dark. A life that is full of light and full of love and full of hope and meaning and purpose. We have a purpose for our life. We understand why we're here. Why God created us. And we are excited to be alive. To be serving him at this particular time in history. Because we know Christ. We have learned him. We've been heard him. And how did we hear Christ? Because when we heard teaching about him through his word, we were able to hear him. In other words, when I am teaching, what you should be hearing is Christ. Not just what I am saying, but hearing him. That and through us being able to teach, when Ted is teaching, when I am teaching, Christ is speaking through us, through his word, and we are to be hearing him. That is the focus of our new life, is Jesus Christ living in us. And these are things we learn from him and were taught by him, even as the truth is in Jesus. We did not get that when we were living, when anyone is living in the world today. They do not get the truth. They are being led to be deceived in many ways. There are many lies out in the world. Satan is the father of lies. You do not hear the truth from Christ, from the world. You do not hear the truth from Satan. But we have heard the truth. In order to live the new life that God gives us, we are hungry for the truth. We're learning the truth. We're learning the truth about who we are, what life means, that we are made in the image of God, that we are to love one another, that in our marriages we are to love our wives, we are to be faithful to one another. And everything in life that we build our life upon, we're learning the truth. We're finally able to know the truth about these things. What do we hear from the world today? We hear, oh, we all came from evolution. You know, we came up out of the mud out here somewhere. And it just began to spread. And there was a development. And here we are today. There's no any wonder that people are so mixed up if our life is based upon the fact we weren't even created by God. Why are we even here? There is no purpose to life. And so we just kind of do our own thing and whatever feels good, that's fine. And there's no guiding principle. People are just sinking in a cesspool of moral filth and ungodliness. We have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught him, as the truth is in Jesus. God then fills our life with the truth, and we learn who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Like Jeremy is saying, the sacrifice that God made for us when he sent his son and allowed him to die in our place. So as a result of that, we have a new wardrobe. We have a new wardrobe that God makes possible for us, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And you put on, then, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We have learned Christ. We have put off the old person. And what Paul is really encouraging us is, we did that when we became a Christian, but we need to make that a permanent part of our life. Because that old life, we keep wanting to bring it back out of the closet. Sometimes we, as Christians, we make the mistake. We've got that old wardrobe, that old way of life. We still got those clothes hanging in the closet there. We didn't get rid of them. And we go back into those. Paul is saying we put off those things. We put on the new. We've gone through a change of life. We have a new mindset. And we have a new inner being to who we are as people. We are renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Becoming a Christian, then, is not just changing your habits on the outward. It's changing who you are on the inside, in your whole understanding of life, in your whole understanding of truth. God renews us in the spirit of our mind. And that needs to happen daily as we are spending time in the Word of God and growing in our faith and our knowledge of Christ. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The ignorance that we had dictated a way of life. The new mind, renewed mind, that God is able to transform into us is how we are able to continue to grow. And that guides and directs our actions and our moral and ethical conduct and behavior, so that we are a holy people that reflect the righteousness and the holiness of God. We're God's children. We should be like God in our life. And we learn that as we have our minds renewed. And then we put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we express our new self in our heart, mind, soul, and our behavior. Everything about us as a Christian changes and reflects who we now are. We can look back on our former life and see the contrast. That's how we used to live. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to live my life now how I understand. So our part is to put ourselves into the new wardrobe of spiritual clothing that God has. We put on the new man. And when it comes to spiritual reality, I just want to say this. Clothes do make the man. Clothes do make the woman. When we're talking about putting on the new man, putting on the new person in Christ, your clothes that you wear is your life that you are living. And that makes all the difference. So we need to daily set aside the rotten garments of the past. Things like selfishness and pride and materialism and bitterness and greediness and those things that dictate the lives of so many people that are living without God. We put those things away. I'm not going to live that way anymore. That's not how I am. I'm in Christ. My life is filled with, I'm created in the image of God. I know who I am. I know what my purpose of my life is. I enjoy reading the Word of God and asking God to help me renew my mind daily. Help me keep my mind focused through the Spirit of God on how to be a Christian, how to reflect the glory of God in my life. Christ has renewed me with His grace. He has come into my life with His grace. And He has forgiven my sins. He has renewed my mind with the truth. And so I need to put on those clothes that match that new life. I put off those old clothes. I put on those new clothes. I'm a new man. I'm a new person. And I am this way because that's what I have learned from Christ. Christ has changed my life. He has made me a new person. He has formed us in a new way from within so that I now love serving God. I want to know the will of God. I want to glorify Him and bring honor and glory to Him and help build up His church and His kingdom in my life with other believers coming together, working together in unity and harmony for the glory of God. And so we spend time in God's Word. Jesus said in John 17:17, He said, Father, sanctify them in Your truth. Your Word is truth. And when we come together in worship, we are to being filled with the Word of God when we sing praises to God. As Paul writes about in the book of Colossians, that we are with grace in our hearts, we sing to the Lord, because God's Word is filling us as new people. So we come to this morning as we close the lesson. We think about who we are in Christ. We are new people. And we are able to be thankful that God has come. He has given us a new life. And so, Father, we pray that You will help us as Your children to appreciate the change that has come over us through the power of Your Word. And help us, Father, to cling to that and build upon that and have You helping us in our life each day. Renew our minds and renew our spirits to help us remain on that path of righteousness that You have set before us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If there are those this morning that are subject to the invitation, the call of God today upon you as you serve Him, we want to extend to you now the invitation of the gospel of Christ, that we will come together now and sing as we stand together and sing the invitation.